Good morning, hello, good evening, good everything to you. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are turning towards life. And this week we have a wonderful source provided by Justin called The Art of Fugue by Jan Zwicky to talk about, or maybe it's Jan Zwicky, I don't know, Justin. And it's a delight as ever to be here and to be continuing on this journey, Justin, of wondering and curiosity and discovery and openness and having an open heart and an open mind about something different each week. And Justin, thank you for continuing to bring things that are so not in my books or my feed or my anything. I'm so grateful. And every time I read something so different, my heart kind of gets more hopeful that there is a never-ending source list for us out there, and I'm just very grateful for that. So thank you,
Lizzie. Hello, hello everyone. Well, it's a joy to be back because Lizzie, you and I had our first proper unplanned interruption last week and didn't get to do this after 370 something because of technical difficulties. So here we are. It's good to be back and good to see you. A couple of things before I get into the source. First of all, just hello everyone. You're so welcome to be with us. And if you want to find out more, if you're just finding your way into this conversation, turningtowards.life, the website, has a ton for you to find out, including all of the previous conversations on video. And you can support us there and you can sign up to get this into your email inbox for those of you who like that every week. And we are thirdspace.org is Third Space, which gave birth to this whole endeavor, the way that you and I met, Lizzie, and what we're deeply, deeply committed to. And I want to mention that particularly because we're recording this in very beginning of December 2024, and we have coming up in February one of our two-day online introductions to integral development coaching, the kind of coaching we do. And it's a wonderful opportunity to come and discover what Third Space is up to. So you're really welcome to head over there and look for that in our upcoming events. Mostly I want to say thank you to all of you for being with us. And Lizzie, you said something marvelous in your introduction about open-heartedness. And I've been thinking a lot in recent days about how hard it can be to be open-hearted in the world at the moment. There's a tremendous amount of distrust, hate, distancing, judgment of one another in the world. It's being amplified by all kinds of things that are sort of ordinary things around us, social media and news media and the strong feelings we have and all of that. And it seems to me it can be very hard to be open-hearted sometimes. And that this conversation, Turning Towards Life, might be a practice in opening our hearts to one another and to the world and to the life is very inspiring and hope-making for me. So I'm coming at this with a heart-opening feeling and wish as well. And then this source, so for those of you who are new to us, you can always find the source in the notes that go out with the podcast versions on our website, in our lovely Facebook group. You're very welcome to find your way to us, Turning Towards Life, and you can ask to join and come in there. This source, The Art of Fugue, I think it is Jan Zwicky, came to us, thank you, from Simon Seligman, who has been following us for a long time. And hi, Simon, hope you're getting to listen to this. We're very grateful for this. And you wrote to us and said, here's a piece that might work. And we thought it did. So here it is, The Art of Fugue. I guess this is part six of The Art of Fugue, the way it's titled. So there must be other parts, but this part goes like this. Once again, the moment of impossible transition. The bow, its silent voice above the string. Let us say the story goes like this. Let us say you could start anywhere. Let us say you took your splintered being by the hand and led it to the center of a room. Starlight through the floorboards of the soul. The patterns of your life repeat themselves until you listen. Forgive this. Say now what you have to say.
Thank you, Justin. Once again, the moment of impossible transition. The bow, its silent voice above the string. Let us say the story goes like this. Let us say you could start anywhere. Let us say you took your splintered being by the hand and led it to the centre of a room. Starlight through the floorboards of the soul. Starlight through the floorboards of the soul. The patterns of your life repeat themselves until you listen. Forgive this. Say now what you have to say.
I'm really glad you ended up reading that middle line twice, Lizzie. Starlight through the floorboards of the soul. So one of the reasons I wanted to say yes to this poem, these words by Jan Zwicky, so quickly, Lizzie, is it seemed to me that it speaks right into the heart of something that is so painful and so difficult for us, and also potentially so full of hope and possibility, which is, I'm guessing you must have had this feeling at times. I certainly have had, and many other people have, which is usually happens when I wake up in the morning and I have this feeling of, I can feel all my, I'm the kind of person who often wakes up in contact with what feels most difficult. So I'll wake up in contact with what feels most difficult. I'll feel my sadness or my fear or my pain or something like that. And I'll wonder to myself, am I always going to be this way? And then someone like Jan comes along and says something which seems to me to be unquestionably true, which is, we really are patterned. I love this line, the patterns of your life repeat themselves. You know, I know how much I can be a person of habit, and how much my habits have got something to do with very often not only what I've done again and again and again, but also my assumptions about myself. Like, I'm not big enough to change any of this. I'm not strong enough to change any of this. And then also my feelings about things, like I don't want to feel this way or that way, and it keeps patterns going. And it's really easy to feel trapped in patterns. But I know the truth of this line of Jan's, the patterns of your life repeat themselves until you listen. There really is something to be said for the work of listening to our own patterns, watching them, observing them, but not observing them in a, as far as we can, not observing them in order to demolish ourselves or to layer on an extra layer of inner harshness on ourselves, which is so easy to do, but is to listen to them so we can forgive ourselves for being ones who get patterned, because it's really, really ordinary. So that's why this line, starlight through the floorboards of the soul, seems so important, because really it seems to me at the heart of this poem is the premise that we find ourselves in patterns for really good reason. We forget that we have taken up patterns that we took up for really good reason, to protect ourselves or to belong somewhere or because we were loyal to something or something like that. And then when we get a glimpse that those patterns aren't serving, it's really easy to treat ourselves like some awful something, to really be in the midst of inner criticism and shame and all of those kind of things. So I love this invitation. We are starlight coming through the floorboards of the soul. And the first step is to listen, and the second step is to forgive ourselves for being patterned. And then the third step is to realize that there is a moment of seemingly impossible transition when the bow is just above the string and it seems like nothing's going to happen. But if you've ever been to see an orchestra play, you know that that moment of silence where everything's poised does turn into music.
Mm-hmm.
and it takes in a way where it begins is very often a simple move, the contact between something and something else that weren't in contact before, not a life-changing reorder my whole life move, but sometimes a really, really small move that brings the bow in contact with the string.
Mm. That's really beautiful, this. I was really drawn to the relationship between transition and patterning when you were talking, Justin, and that thing you just said, that so often I think in the transitional moments of my life, it feels like crisis of some kind. You know, it feels like you said, everything has to change. Like there's something monumental has to give here. And sometimes it is that moment of just one thing being in touch with another thing that they're where they weren't touching before. And then a whole different something opens up that you just couldn't have even imagined from that place of feeling like the world has been turned upside down or something. And I was thinking as you were talking, Justin, I was watching myself yesterday and some general task that just normally makes me feel resentful because I don't want to do it. And lots of kind of voices come up in me. And it's one of those ones that has to be done. And it's amazing how it's always the same voice. And I've been watching it and watching it and watching it and wondering whether I can do anything about it. You're just watching and watching and listening and listening and finding little ways of kind of replacing the voice. Because so far it doesn't help me to experience my life the way that I want to with that voice present. And then yesterday I was wondering, well, what happens if I kind of turn towards the voice? Like there's different ways, I find there's different ways of like dealing with myself. One of them is feeling whether I could change a pattern, like experimenting with the change of a pattern. So instead of letting this voice just go on and on for the duration of the time, I could maybe listen to something, or I could maybe put something else into the mix, into the environment that would have me feel differently about doing it. And then yesterday, and sometimes that's really wonderful. And then yesterday I thought, well, I wonder what if this voice is always here when I do this thing. And it's normally about, I think someone else should be doing this. And this isn't my life. I don't want to do this. This isn't, you know, someone else should have already thought of this, that kind of resentful inner chat. And then I was just suddenly got really curious about, well, what if I, if this just arises in this moment of seemingly nothing, what if I listen and wonder? And I didn't get very far, in all honesty, but I didn't try and get rid of it. I kind of brought kindness to it and I brought forgiveness to it. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to go, okay, well, maybe someone else should be doing this. Maybe someone else should have, yes, thought of this before you have. And shall we just see? And so I'm like on the first step of this particular voice. There's lots of other voices and lots of other things that I've turned towards and found beautiful things there. And for some reason, this everyday one, I haven't given enough time to yet in my life. So I'm really taking this as an invitation to come kindly to it, to recognize it as one of these patterns and to maybe take it further, like take it seriously, if you know what I mean. Like there's like part of me just goes, oh God, well, it's just like, you just got to get over it and whatever, and just push it. But it keeps coming. And I really do think that things only keep coming if they want to keep coming and to have some airtime. So I'm taking this as a kind of, maybe this is like a little, what do you call it? Like when a trailhead, you know, you just see the beginning of like a trail forward, and letting it be treated like that feels quite different than trying to be resentful towards the resentment, if that makes sense.
Seems in the way that you're talking about you, Lizzie, it seems like In a way, it's such a gentle move, which is to go from being in the midst of a pattern and sort of taking it very, very seriously, or being caught in it, or having it feel very, very big, and which maybe is, but taking it, as Jan says, taking it gently. She doesn't say it this way, but saying it, taking it gently by the hand and leading it to the center of the room. Mm. It's a gentle move, and it's in feeling what you're saying. It seems to me you're talking about ways in which we can sort of gentle ourselves with our big patterns, particularly the ones that want to say something to us, particularly the ones that carry difficulty or some kind of constriction or pain in them. And I was thinking whilst you were talking, I've never really thought about going. I've been quite a lot of times to go and see orchestras play, and I've never really thought about it. I have also played in an orchestra, actually. And there is that moment. I haven't played in an orchestra since I was at school, I must say. But there is that moment before, or I'm going to give a talk this morning, actually. It's the same thing. Just before it begins, just before, when the conductor raises their hand and there's this sort of breath of silence, and it does feel for a moment like, will this ever happen? Like, that silence feels like it could go on forever, and it's going to take quite a big thing for everyone to actually make the move to get their bows on the string so something can happen. But it's actually a very, very short move. It's a tiny distance. And I'm appreciating in what you're saying and in what Jan is writing that the things that we get really stuck in, whether it's worrying or not speaking up for ourselves or ignoring what's important or not sleeping enough or whatever it is, when we find out that there's a move that's equivalent to the move between the bow just being above the string and being on the string, that we can come to with some gentleness and some curiosity.
Mm.
And that the pattern might itself want to be known in that way, it starts to give us a way for the starlight to come through that's always been waiting, that might have been held out. And at least for me, one of the things that really touched me in what you were saying is the wonderful sort of double loop part of this is the very pattern that I've been working on for a long time, but has taken on a new possibility in the light of this poem, actually, is working with how unbelievably over-serious about everything I can get. I can get so over-serious about things that I walk around my life with an enormous degree of inner drama. It's really easy for me to do. And because it feels very, very big, it can feel very difficult to know how to work with it, sort of like some kind of great cataclysm has to happen for things to be different. But as you're saying, actually, maybe not. And the thing that I learned that I'm so enjoying learning that's really along this lines about listening and being curious is a few weeks ago, I was arriving at the pond where I swim here in London, and I was locking up my bike, and next to me, there was a woman unlocking her bike, and she was dancing. She was like dancing her way. I don't even think she was listening to music, but she was just sort of moving her body in a way that suggested to me that what was going on inside her was not anything like what was going on inside me, which was sort of giant drama. What she was attending to in her was clearly something else, because whether she had drama or not, her body was moving in rhythm to some music that was clearly joyful and whatever. And I started to think to myself, gosh, I don't really move that way in the world when I'm out and about doing things. I think I'm much more caught up in the, you know, this great big silent pause before the bow hits the string. Maybe the really kind way of taking myself by the hand and leading myself to the center of the room is to dance. So I've been practicing sort of wiggling my way through life, you know, like catching little bits of music. If I hear some music coming out of a car or coming out of a shop or something, of letting that be the thing, like moving the contact point inside myself, yeah, from the big drama story, which has also got a ton of self-criticism and shame and all that, moving it just like half an inch to the left where there's music,
mm-hmm,
and making contact there and leading myself there. So when I was at a concert on a couple of nights ago, and my son, who, as you know, Lizzie, as a jazz musician, was playing in a concert, I thought, I'm just going to wiggle my way through this entire thing, even if everybody else is sitting and listening very earnestly, which they were for some of it. There was dancing later. So anyway, that's been really lovely for me. But the image, the metaphor I have for it is almost like, slightly different to Jan Zwicky's metaphor, is almost like I've had my bow in contact with one string and it's been very, very, very familiar.
Mm.
But as I listen to it, the patterns of your life repeat themselves until you listen. I'm starting to give myself the affordance that a very small movement allows the bow in me to be in contact with another string.
Mm.
And as Jan says, you can start anywhere. Like, that's where I'm starting. I'm starting by making the move from here to it. And it turns out the string next to it isn't like the string that I've been bowing for a long time.
Yeah.
And it is a real, it seems to me to open up an enormous set of possibilities to see that you can start anywhere as something that is small and kind, and to know that small and kind can be giant.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, Justin, of all of the many, many moments of transition that exist in my life, both kind of meta transition times, but also just micro transition times of getting out of the house or getting home or making a meal when somebody's, you know, a young child's blood sugar's just dropped through the floor or something. And there's intensity as well in the transition, and how it's so easy to see all of this inside of that. And how whenever there is a moment where I can play another string on the bow in that moment, whenever that possibility arises, and sometimes it's out of desperation that it arises because my system can't kind of take it anymore, and sometimes it's out of intentionality that it arises because I've gone, okay, today, when things are hard, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to breathe, or I'm going to remember some piece of joy, or I'm going to sing, or I'm going to put some music on, or I'm going to put a talk on that's meaningful to me or something. But I'm just marveling at the nature of transition, the nature of that silence before it begins, the nature of the, I guess, the disappearance of what feels normal and relaxed or something, what feels like it always happens just ordinarily without any process in it, just normalness. When that all disappears and we're left with unpredictability and tumultuousness, I'm just feeling how really completely appropriate is to be kind, to be little, to be one small something to support myself, to support the system that I'm in. And it's really hard. It's really hard, and it's really possible. So when you're grappling with your lock in a kind of moment of, I have to lock my bike up because it might get stolen, and where do I put it? And what, I don't know what's going through your head, but you know what I mean? I can imagine myself locking my bike up and there being concern, and it's about security and, you know, all of those things. And there's somebody next to you having a dance about it. It's a very opening thing, your story, Justin. I really appreciate it, because it also, being in the world in that way, gives us this very solid experience of the story that I'm in is having me be the way that I am. The story I'm in about locking my bike up is not her story. So it's a story. Like it's those profound moments where we go, ah, I'm handling this entirely different to another person, which therefore means it's an interpretation that I'm in rather than a fact, that it's a serious thing to lock up a bike and it has to be done this way. And I, you know, feel inattention about it. And I, you know, there's story in that. And I find that really liberating because it means that that gentle move is possible. That little something being different is literally available because this is not fact. This is not how everyone experiences the world. And so I think other people and whatever story they're in can be such a gift to us to know that there's another choice that can be made. And I could, in fact, scramble around and get my lock out, put it on my bike with joy in my heart, with music in my soul, and not be so concerned and not be so worried about the whole thing. I love that. And I'm going to imagine the bikeness story right here, knowing that someone else would deal with this entirely different to me and take it as an invitation to be gentle and have another go.
Right. And where I'm going with this as you're talking, Lizzie, this gosh, so striking. I think I know about this, but then I forget, which is maybe this is the whole point. This is what being human is like. Oh, my entire experience is being shaped by the narrative that I'm living in, and it's not, it's only one of many. And you right now, Lizzie, will have a different narrative probably than I do. We might have some shared things, and you're doing it differently, and therefore something different is possible. And that it so much comes down to the story. So of course, if I'm in the story that everything is drama, then the woman dancing next to me while she unlocks her bike doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. It's because there's a different story that's possible. And it's reminding me of, because we're talking about music, it's just reminding me of film soundtracks. And I don't know if you've ever done this thing. I think we've talked about this a little bit before, where you watch a very frightening film, but you put silly, bouncy, laughy music over it, and it's just not so frightening anymore. Or you take something that's a comedy and you put some frightening music behind it, and suddenly it looks and feels completely different. That in a way, stories and soundtracks are not that different to one another either. And so I'm thinking about this work of shifting the bow to another string is the move. It's also like choosing a different, putting on a different playlist at that point, just to know that that would. I'm not talking in some, I mean, actually sometimes literally putting on a different playlist is the thing to do. And that for each of us, it's different. So for me, it tends to be going from over seriousness and over drama to joy. And for other people, it will be going from light playfulness, like everything's trivial, to really taking something seriously that we haven't taken seriously before. And I guess that's also true for me that way around sometimes too. But to see how much, to start to see, oh, and the other part of it that really struck me from what you said was about being small enough. All of us make ourselves too small some of the time, but a big trap is trying to be too big, is trying to think like I need to be godlike. If I'm going to change anything, I need to change everything about my life and everything about me. And even imagining that we could do that. No, what we need to do, what really helps is for us to be, to realize that we're also quite small, and to make the move that we can make, which is also giant, because it's also the move that we can make inside ourselves.
Also, the small move, Justin, isn't ever small, actually. It is small in the moment, but anything that opens a different world or a different possibility is a huge experience for this humanness that we are. Like, to see something from a different place is a huge thing. To know that as humans, we've gone like small and this is who I am and this is how I am. And then all of a sudden, oh no, maybe I could be a dancer whilst I'm doing the washing up or doing my bike lock. It's like a massive thing. It feels huge to me in this moment, like a profound... Oh, so if that could be different, then what else could be different? If I can make this little tiny move and it feels experience in my experience so different right now, well, what else is possible? And how else could I bring myself to my life? And which other areas of my life that aren't locking my bike up and doing the washing up or whatever? Well, if I brought myself differently in a different setting of some kind, what then gets made possible? So I'm feeling the hugeness of the smallness, and the tiny move being, the trajectory of the tiny move being huge, like foundational to me.
Yeah. It's the tiny steps that are giant.
Yeah.
The patterns of your life repeat themselves until you listen. Well, what a wonderful conversation, Lizzie. It's such a treat to be in this very long conversation and it still be alive in the way that it is. And I think that's also because we keep on making moves closer in, more into contact with things that are real, rather than trying to, reach for something unreachable. And in doing so, it's real and alive and necessary and powerful, certainly for me, and I imagine for many other people as well. So thanks for being in this conversation again with me this week. And thank you all of you for being with us. And we're going to end here. And all being well, we will be back with you next week with a source chosen by Lizzie. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.